Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hoare. This is the match preview ahead of Liverpool versus Sheffield United. Thursday night game for the Reds as they look to continue their march, hopefully towards a Premier League title. Kickoff 7:30 UK time. Working out for yourselves wherever you guys are. Delighted to be joined by Andy and by Lewis to have a big old chat about Liverpool v Sheffield United. And guys, it's interesting, Andy, because everyone's been doing the, you know, predicting that who's going to finish where and what games is everyone going to get points from, and everyone's just given Liverpool 3 points in Sheffield United and half looking towards Manchester United on Sunday. And I understand that we're top at the moment and they're bottom at time recording, so it's easy to say why, but yeah, you've got to be wary, haven't you? Like, you can't really take your eye off the ball in any Premier League game, because listen, Luton came to Anfield and gave us a real scare there. Like, Sheffield United are in do or die time. Liverpool should win, but it can't be a game that anyone's really overlooking, like, towards Sunday.
Yeah, I know this is on a completely separate level, but the last time I sort of heard chat like this was for the United game just before Christmas.
Yeah.
Where
how many rather than how...
People were talking about 7-0s again. They were in terrible form. We were flying, and ultimately they came and parked the bus and got a point. Now, Manchester United, at their very worst, are still a far, far better team than this Sheffield United side. Yep. They're bottom of the league. They're bottom of the home league. They're bottom of the away league. They're bottom of the form league. They've conceded the least goals. Sorry, they've conceded the most goals, and they've scored the least goals in the league. Yep. By any metric, Sheffield United are the worst team in this league. And although it's just a case of we need to get the points, so we shouldn't take it for granted, we absolutely have to win this game.
Yeah,
it's almost as well. It was like for them, obviously they've got 9 games left themselves as it stands, given the results that Nottingham Forest had yesterday. They're 10 points off. Now, they do have 2 games in hand on Forest, but it feels almost do or die time for Sheffield United. Like, it depends what Chrissy Wilder's after, because is he after a win? Is he after to take a point, because they're probably going to go down anyway? Is he after, you know what, let's just take one with us, like, let's have a big hit on a big impact on this league before we go down? Because Andy's right, by every metric they've been the worst team. They are, they have been really, really poor. It'll be interesting to see what approach they come with, because they've been absolutely battered at times away from home. And they've tried to defend and it's not worked. You've tried to attack, it's not worked. It'll be interesting. What do you think Chrissy Wilder's going to do? Is he going to come park a bus? Is he going to come and try and land the blow on Liverpool? I don't know.
Park a bus is probably the more likely option. I think we saw what happened when they played Arsenal and they got, was it like 5-0 by half time, 6-0, something like that. Yeah, I don't see them really coming here and really giving us a big go. But like you said, it's just one of those, this is the game which we expect to win, and we saw that with Luton earlier in the season. We saw that against Forest not too long ago. Like, we can struggle against these teams, and if he does decide to park the bus, notoriously we do struggle against those kind of teams. I just think that's how it's going to be. I don't think they've got the players capable of marching a major attack on us. The form's so poor at the moment. They're struggling to score goals. They'll probably try and sit back, maybe just knock one off a set piece, probably lump it long to, I don't know, like a Cameron Archer or something like that. But I can't see too much of a threat coming from Sheffield in terms of really going for it. But we definitely can't look at this as a game as, oh yeah, we're going to wallop them like 6-7-0, because notoriously this season we have struggled at times against the lower down teams. Even Sheffield in the last fixture, we were quite poor in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose what they have got going for them, I suppose, Andy, if you're a Sheffield United fan and you're looking at this trying to get some optimism, Like, they've drew the last two games and they've scored five goals. Obviously, they've conceded five as well, but like, they've shown a little bit of something. Like, they were getting battered every week. They've scored 27 goals all season and five of them have come in the last two games. They drew 2-2 with Bournemouth. They then drew 3-3 at the weekend with Fulham. They probably should have lost that game as well, by all accounts, after being in a really good position in it. So they've at least, you know, they got absolutely battered by Brighton, narrowly lost to Wolves, and they got absolutely, they got embarrassed by Arsenal. Like, it was it was one of the biggest gulfs in clash you've ever seen in a Premier League game between two sides. I thought that Arsenal game, it could have been 8-10-12. Like, Arsenal kind of took the foot off the gas, but they have since turned it around. Like I say, a draw at Bournemouth is fine, for, you know, it's a good result. A draw at home to Fulham, it isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, they have, they've at least got that going for them. Like, they found something recently. They haven't completely capitulated since Arsenal wiped the floor with them.
Yeah, it's certainly those last two results show that there's still fight left in that Sheffield team. You know, they know they're going down. They know they're going to have to do a pretty big rebuild in the Championship next year, and they're probably looking towards that. But yeah, they've gone up in these games, and they're still fighting and they're still scrapping. And I think that's the one thing that Chris Wilder will always bring to his side. He'll never let them sort of completely give up the ghost. And yeah, they will want to come out of this season. It's not been much fun for them after they got promoted, and they will want to come out with, you know, a result against a big team, and they'll be still holding on for that. The only thing I would say about those last two results, as you referenced there, was against Bournemouth, they're 2-0 up and they concede two in the last 20 minutes. I think the equaliser is in the 91st minute there. And then against Fulham, they actually go 4-1 up, get the goal chalked off, and Fulham go back to 3-3 in the 93rd minute. So they've obviously put a lot into those two games, two sort of winnable or able to get a result games for them. And they've come away with sort of heartbreak in both of them. So where they're at mentally following that, they might just be completely exhausted. And we might get a Sheffield United team which doesn't offer much on Thursday night, and that's what we have to hold out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, they it's one of them loose, isn't it, really? Like, I'm just looking at the team they put out at the weekend. Obviously, they drew 3-3. They kind of go three at the back. Like, there's the formation there for those who are watching along. So, three proper centre-backs, although, you know, Jack Robertson is converted into one of them. With wing-backs, they do use two up front. I mean, they did at home to Fulham, and they had to win that game, really, I think, to have any chance. So, they did have McBurney and Berrettin Diaz up front, and they did cause a couple of problems. Is he brave enough to come to Anfield and play two strikers? Is the, you know, very few teams do that. You know, at any point at any time, De Virgil van Dijk and Gerald Quanta both have a man each. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because he probably should. Because really, if their aim is survival, they probably have to win.
Yeah.
Now, a point at Anfield might not even be enough, which is that's the hole that Sheffield United have dug themselves. It'll be interesting to see, is he brave enough to go two up front? Because he probably has to.
Yeah, I think you're right. And when we played Brentford a few weeks ago, they had two strikers up front. I think it was Tony and Mbeumo or Visa, I can't remember who. But it worked really well. Like, it's an effective thing to do when you're trying to split the defence.
Yeah.
And if they're just going to be lumping balls forward, which I suspect they will, having two focal points up front rather than one striker who's just going to get marked out the game is important. If they have two up front, there's a lot of options for themselves. The whole wing back thing, I think they're quite crap defensively, let's be honest, and they're going to try and bring as many players back as they can, so the only option really for them is to just lump it forward. And with the poor attackers they've got, really, you need two of them up front at all points. It's going to be interesting to see who partners with Van Dijk to deal with that. Because I think Kwanzaa did really well against Brentford. Konate is coming back. So it's, you know, it is one of those things. I think the two-striker method is probably the way they're going to go with this one, given how effective it can be in that system that they play.
I suppose, well, Cam Archer's been injured, but he could be back. He nearly made the weekend, but they have scored five goals with that McBurney-Diaz combination, Andy, as well. So again, if you're going to try and disrupt Liverpool, I mean, Ollie McBurney, he's horrible to play against. I mean, he's all hands and elbows and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if you can rough Liverpool centre-backs up Liverpool teams in the past. You could. I'm not sure you can with these ones, but it might be a different challenge. Like I said, we'll talk about whoever plays alongside Van Dijk, but whoever it is, I'm guessing that's you, Ollie McBurney, if he starts, because I doubt Cameron Archer is going to come and start straight away. They're probably going to play on whoever that is, so it will be there's a physical challenge there for somebody to have to deal with. They should be good enough, but it is just something to think about.
Yes, two up front in the last couple of years for smaller teams has become a little bit more in vogue. I think the idea is that you pack everyone behind the ball and Sunderland. If you've just got one man up there, kind of the way like Luton do with Carlton Morris when they come to Anfield, it's impossible for him to do anything. He might hold it up for a couple of seconds, but everyone's so far back that you need to be holding on to the ball for sort of 10, 15 seconds before you can get anyone up. Whereas if you've at least got someone to bounce off, you know, you're probably still going to lose it, but there is a little bit of a threat there. And the lad Brereton Diaz, from anything I've seen of him, actually looks all right. Mm. He's got a bit of pace about him, and okay, they probably complement each other quite well, and will complement each other quite well in the Championship next season. So we do have to be wary. I would be surprised if Kanate doesn't come back in. I think they've sort of earmarked this as give Kanate 60, 70 minutes or 90 if he leads up to it, and then he's completely ready to go for United away at the weekend. And that is, you know, in terms of the narrative of this game, you can't talk about this game without talking about United, because, you know, it's such a massive game. We haven't beaten them this season, and, you know, it will become this question where, touch wood, if we're 3-4-0 up at half time, do you go for that goal difference, or do you sort of make sure everyone's raring to go for United in terms of minutes? That's something he'll have to consider if we're in that situation.
Yeah, I think hopefully we are. Like I say, all being told, we've been very respectful to Sheffield United, but also, Lewis, Liverpool should batter Sheffield United. You know what I mean? Like, it all being said, like, we've been very, actually, they're bottom, the worst team in the league. We're top currently at time recording. Of course, that might change. There's games tonight that we'll talk about in a moment. But Andy's right. Liverpool should be beating Sheffield United. And really, it should be a case of by how many. Do you think that is in any way part of the game plan here? Because, again, currently as it stands, before Arsenal and Manchester City have played this evening, we are 6 goals behind Arsenal on the goal difference. I was 2 points ahead of them, and that's the crucial one. But I do wonder, the reason that, again, they got 6 more goals than us is because they beat Sheffield United 6-0. Yeah. Like, they absolutely wiped the floor with them. There's the difference. There's Liverpool's chance to maybe try and claw some of that back. I'm always wary when Liverpool try and chase goal difference. I get Crystal Palace flashbacks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to just win the game before you do anything. Yeah. But Andy's right. There's a conversation to be had of, if you're doing what Arsenal did, do you do what Arsenal did and take your foot off the gas? Yeah. Because you do have United on Sunday, it's a relatively quick turnaround, or do you try and put the hammer down? Hopefully it's something that we have to consider, because it means things have gone well, but I wonder how much of a part that is in the manager's mind currently.
I think it's massive. Like you said, we don't want to be in that situation like the Forest game, where we're having to run around and chase in like the 98th minute to try and get a goal. Just get it done quick. Get it done quick and easy. Like we said with the Europa League when we played Sparta, I think it was, just get it done and then rest what you need to. This should be a game where we wallop them, but that's just my concern. I'm not trying to sound negative about it, but they're the matches where we can slip up, because I think we do sort of get into our minds, we're getting a sort of overconfidence, which is warranted. We absolutely deserve it, but we can undo ourselves at point. We saw that in the United game in the FA Cup. We did see it against Luton. We almost saw it against Forest. So as long as we just don't expect to take this game as easy as people think we're going to, just get the job done as quick as possible. It doesn't have to be like a 7-8-0. Just 2 or 3 goals, asking a bit, but 2 or 3 goals, get it done, rest the players you need to, ready for that United game, and this time go there with a fully fit squad that's going to be able to just put them to the sword and focus on that instead, really.
I suppose, well, Andy, what Liverpool will have here that they haven't maybe always had is the strength in depth off the bench might be decent. So, yeah, you might be 3-0 up, and just because you take a couple off, again, this is all hoping rather than expecting. You know, if you say to Salah, listen, have half an hour, you can still put on, you know, Harvey Elliott, Cody Gakpo, Curtis Jones is back available, so he might be an option. Like, Ryan Gravenberch probably won't start, there's an option. So even if Liverpool do try and look after a couple of players, there's no lack of intent from there. There's a lot of attacking options still available to him, so you can still try and search goals out whilst looking at, you know, that's the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, that's very true as well. I was thinking that when I was thinking, you know, taking players off doesn't necessarily, well, it probably makes us weaker, but it doesn't take out the possibility of going and winning that by whatever 6 or 7 that we would need to do to crawl back that goal difference. You know, it's a tricky one to sort of manage, because Jurgen will not mention goal difference in that team talk. He will not mention it at all, but it will still be at the back of his mind, and it'll be at the back of all the players' minds. And you look at someone like a Cody Gakpo, who's been bang out of form this season, and I was his biggest champion last year, you know, when he came in. He's made a bit of a mug of me, because I was like, why is he not got the number 9 instead of Nunez? And then Nunez had a far better season. But a game like this is perfect for him to sort of come on at, if it is 3 or 4-0, to come on and take the game and get his confidence back, and, you know, still play a massive part in the season in doing that. So There's no doubt about it. This league could come down to goal difference. We're 67, Arsenal 65, City 64. If we draw a game and Arsenal win, they're back level in points with us. If we lose a game and City win, they're level in points with us. It absolutely come down to it. It can come down to it. And for us to completely neglect it, of course, the points are more important, but we can't completely neglect the idea of goal difference, especially when we're so close and have an opportunity here to claw it back.
I want to be as optimistic as the ice cream man who's just turned up at 10:46 a.m. on a rainy April afternoon in Liverpool. Fair enough, he's optimistic. Maybe we should be too. Team news then, Lewis, I'll start with you. I don't know about Andy Robertson. Maybe to give him an extra couple of days. It's whether he goes Gomez or he can go Timocastle left back if it isn't Robertson. Even if Robbo's fit, I don't know if putting him in now is the best option. Maybe he starts off the bench. Gomez has played a lot. Is it Timocastle time?
I think it's Timocastle for this, and then maybe Gomez for United. I think Gomez is warranted starting games, and like you say, he's played a lot. Timocastle hasn't played as much as I thought he would. I know he had the injury earlier on in the season. I think it was against Arsenal. He got it, but
yeah, Saka done him.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I would like to see Timocastle in this. Give Gomez the rest going into the United game, where I think he'll be in a better position to start and probably have more of an impact than Timocastle in that match. I think he's better defensively, so I'd agree with Timocastle. I think this is the game made for him, where he's going to have license to go forward because everyone's going to sit back and he's going to have to ping a good ball in, which I mean Gomez is the best out on the left. Put Timocastle there, good ball into the middle for Nunez.
It feels like the most attacking option, doesn't it, Andy? If it isn't going to be Robertson, which again, he's had that issue with Scotland, so maybe they do want to look after him a little
bit.
That
was our fault, that, by the way.
Yeah, your boys done him, didn't he? pricks. But no, it's absolutely fine. You've looked after Conor Bradley well, so we can do a bit of both. But the Timocastle thing is, you know, if you are looking to score goals and score goals early, if you're not too worried about the attack of Sheffield United, Kostas is, again, Lewis is right. Like if someone's going to be delivering set pieces and balls into the box and just offering that, like Gomez is game. You know, he will get on the overlap, he'll get forward, but also Kostas does have that little bit extra quality over Gomez in the attacking third. So it feels like a very good game for Kostas to play.
Yeah, it's two attacking fullbacks for me. It has to be for this one. I mean, Gomez has done brilliantly, and I agree with Lewis in the sense that I think he comes in on Sunday, and you go to Old Trafford and you start him there. However, yeah, it has to be two attacking fullbacks for this. They're going to get forward. They're going to get chances. And, you know, it's well documented every time Joe Gomez gets the ball at Anfield that he's not the most proficient in front of goal and isn't really a numbers man from fullback. So Bradley absolutely has to play, and Bradley will really relish a game like this where he can get forward. And, you know, I thought he played really, really well again at the weekend. His dribbling's coming on as much as his sort of crossing and getting to the byline, I think. And at left back, yeah, it's a sports science question. It's whether Robertson can do 60-70. Do you want Robertson there for the weekend? If he sees Robertson playing at Old Trafford, he might give him sort of the optimum number of minutes in this one. But if not, Kostas Tsimikas, listen, he divides opinion, I think it's fair to say.
I think he's had a good season when he's been fit.
I think he has as well, but like, yeah, he has his moments, doesn't he, when he comes on in the League Cup final, you know, before he puts that cross in, it's an all-time performance from him. But, you know, his big strength is crossing and his whip balls into the box, and you're right as well, you know, with Nunez in there, he'll relish those opportunities. I think Tsimikas and Nunez has borne fruit for us at times, so you know they're going to get space out wide, and they're both good attacking players, so you know it could be one of those where they're absolutely crucial to this now. And you know, yeah, it depends on whether they want Robertson for the weekend. If they don't, I think you just go Tsimikas and then you go Gomez. Yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've got a comment here from Sonny who says, ideally, Canate gets some minutes before Sunday too, Lewis. It's interesting because there's obviously something, the managing Canate's minutes, it's clear. He was on the bench at the weekend, but he's had this muscle issue that he got, and then he's been in and out of the team, but he did play a full game for France, and then obviously he misses a very big game against Brighton. It's whether they believe did he think they really need him at Old Trafford? Because if they do, what's better? Is it better that he doesn't play? Mm. Or does he, like again, it's a sports science thing, does he need the minutes, or you better say, actually, I have 10 days off, and we'll go real intense, and we need you at Old Trafford. Quanto will let Liverpool down. Quanto will play either Thursday or he'll play Sunday. I just don't see a world where Canate plays both. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
No, I completely agree. And it's a difficult one because on one hand, you could say Canate needs minutes against Sheffield, give him 45 so that he's a little bit fresh for the United game. But then it's like, well, would he be fresh for United then? We don't know the extent of how injured he's been. You could say, okay, play him against Sheffield, rest him against United, but it's a bigger fix. Like, there's so many different ways doing it. I think the Matip injury has probably spurred us into managing the minutes better. I think we've had a bit of a panic and went, we can't be rushing these lads back like we used to. We've got to take our time with them. And Kwanzaa has come at the right time to deputise for that. I don't see Canate playing against Sheffield, and if he does, it'd be like you said before, if we have got a bit of a considerable lead and then we maybe bring him on just for a bit of fitness. I can't see us starting him and then taking him off, potentially disrupting a back line, which we might be 0-0, we might be 3-0 up. We don't really know, but either way, the United game is the starting game for him, I think, 100%.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he needs. Bossman says, anyone know how Diogo Jota's doing, how long? So, Jürgen confirmed after Brighton, the only person back will be Curtis Jones. Andy Robertson was waiting to see, but they're probably going to err on the caution if not. We'll find out later when he does a press conference, but Curtis Jones is the one. So let's talk about midfield then, Andy, moving on to that, is that Curtis, he said he's been training since Saturday. It was just that the intensity of the session on Saturday probably wasn't enough for him to have a game straight away on the weekend, on the Sunday. There is a case to throw him straight back in. Again, he was in great form. Looking ahead to the weekend, is he going to start at Old Trafford? I don't know. But unlike someone like a Canate who's minutes managing, I don't think he needs to do that with Curtis. It was an impact injury, you know, it was one of those that it's a bit unlucky. He's back fit now and available. There's a genuine option, a genuine case to say, you know what, straight back in, get yourself in the team and continue where you left off.
Yeah, there is. I don't think he's going to get his shirt right back in terms of like the starting 11, but it's a case of managing the three who have been playing more or less every game recently, managing their minutes. You know, Endo, I think after the League Cup final, didn't Jürgen say, like, I can't believe his hamstrings haven't popped or something along those lines, and then he goes and plays 90 minutes in every game since. So, you know, it would be such a blow to lose Endo at this point, the form he's putting in. Alexis McAllister, for me right now on form, is probably the best midfielder in the league. Yep. So we don't want to lose him either, but at the same time, he's not going to be dropped. And Szoboszlai has been like a little bit hit and miss of late, ever since he came into the team and did so well at the start of the season. But again, it's about managing his minutes. And is it the case of sort of taking Szoboszlai out just for this one, giving Curtis Jones 60 minutes and having Szoboszlai a bit fresher for the weekend? Because at times I think Szoboszlai's looked a little bit leggy, and think that could just be his style of play at times and his mannerisms. But I think, yeah, it'll just be a case of having them fully flying for United. As I say, I can't see for, you know, European Cup final tomorrow the way everyone's playing. I think you have to go Endo, McAllister and Szoboszlai. But, you know, Gravenberch's been back in. I don't think he's at a start since he's been back.
Harvey Elliott, man. What did you have to do?
Absolutely, yeah. He's been so unlucky. He's sort of been like the 12th man all season. Yeah. But he's performed that role so well. And hopefully, you know, Jürgen Sandheim, you know, even though you're not starting these games, you're having such an impact in this season. And he feels valued in that sense. So, yeah, we've got options now. We've got options off the bench, which is another thing, you know, where these games go one each in 80 minutes. We can change it. And we haven't always had those. We haven't always had that option this season. So the League Cup Finals, the biggest example of that. So yeah, it's good to have these back, and there will be opportunities for them in Europe, as I say, to win their shirt back and be in the starting team for this running. Yeah.
Two questions, Andy. What would you do, and what do you think Jürgen's going to do in his midfield?
I think both answers are to stick with what it is. I think at this point he's not going to mess around with it too much. He's going to ask them to go again. If we're going to win this league, it's going to have to be, you know, at least 8 wins and a draw. So he's going to have to get 100% out of them. They're going to have to put everything into it. And just ask them to keep going and keep going. I think that's Jürgen's MO. That's how he gets that out of his players that other managers can't. I think he'll ask them all to go again.
Do you agree with those?
Yeah, I don't see Jones starting. He'll probably do the whole come on in the 70th minute kind of thing. The Szoboszlai one's interesting because didn't Klopp say something recently like he's been playing a new role, or like he's found a new way of getting the best out of him? So he's found something that's starting to get him back to form. I think Szoboszlai will be useful in this game as well because he's the most willing to shoot from distance in that midfield. And if we're against a Sheffield team who's just going to sit back, you know, you need players like that. There's no Trent in the team to do it. So that's a key thing to have. I pretty much agree. I think Szoboszlai, Endo, McAllister is probably going to be the way to go for it. Jones will come on a bit later on, get him a bit of fitness. He'll probably rest McAllister because he's played so many minutes lately, rest him for the United game. I can see Szoboszlai probably coming off at some point. Like I said, we've just got so many options. Like, we're not in a predicament like we were a few seasons ago where it's just, you know, who's going to start every single game pretty much without fail. It's so hard to predict who's going to play and who's going to be on the bench, and it's just such a difficult, it's a good situation to be in, but I can't see much changing at the moment. Like I said, we need to keep the consistency. We're in a, like, the biggest part of the season. Trying to change everything now and tweak it based on the opponent probably isn't the way to go.
Is there a world anyway for you, Lewis, where Cody Gakpo starts again? Given we've just played Sunday, we're playing Thursday, we're playing again Old Trafford away Sunday. My guess is at Old Trafford, you know, what Nunes, Diaz, Salah.
Yeah.
Is there a world where Cody Gakpo starts tomorrow night?
Yeah, and again, it goes back to that.
Where do you think that could be? Is it centre forward?
In the middle, yeah, because Gakpo isn't. For all that he's a very good technical player, he can be great on the ball at points, he's not the quickest of players. He's better when he's coming deep as a false nine, and against the Sheffield team who are going to sit back, he's going to try and bring players towards him, because otherwise Salah can't do anything with space. Diaz, who I think is going to start on the left, he's not going to be able to do anything with space. So having Gakpo there to draw players towards him, creating the space for them, get a goal or two ahead, and then you can bring Nunez on just to sort of go put the fear of God in them, crosses into him as they try and sit back deeper, is probably the best way to do it. And he needs form, like you said before. I don't think he's been awful, Gakpo, but out of the five, he's definitely been the one who's impressed the least. And this is the game for him to really show that he can impact games as more than just an off-the-bench player who occasionally gets a goal. This can be something where his ability can change our tactics to make us perform better against Sheffield than just go out there and just...
What do you think, Andy?
I think there's an argument for it as well. It's a case of whether he's going to make a few changes. He has done it at times in different games. I just can't see it necessarily happening with so few games to go, and especially seeing we've got those two games against Atalanta coming up. So for the likes of Gakpo, you know, he's nailed on to starting those. Yeah. Elliott's nailed on to starting those. Gravenberch, you would think as well. Probably Curtis Jones. That'll probably be the midfield for that one. So there is an argument for it, and I wouldn't be averse to it as well. Sort of from a tactical point of view, they've got three centre halves there. They're all going to play very narrow. And, you know, if Gakpo's on form, he takes centre-halves out, like Firmino did. He pops it off, and there's space for the other players, for your Salahs, whoever plays on the left, probably Diaz, and then the fullbacks as well. So from a tactical point of view, there's an argument for it. And also, you know, I am well aware that, like, I've mentioned this quite a bit, but if we, you know, at the end of the day, we expect to be a couple of goals up at halftime against Sheffield United. So this should come into our conversation. If we do go 3 or 4 nil up and you say to Nunes, right, go on there and get the goal difference up, he'll be relishing that, you know what I mean? And for three tired centre halves who have been battered and bruised all day and been dragged everywhere by Gakpo, to then see Darwin Nunes coming on is probably the last thing they want to see as well. So there's definitely a tactical argument for it. I just think he's going to play his best 11, get the game won, and then bring players on like that, knowing that we've got those two Atalanta games coming up.
And I think that's probably the wise thing. You rest players once you've got the points rather than trying to bring them back on. We are recording this obviously Wednesday morning. Arsenal play Luton tonight, Manchester City pass, then Villa moving towards the title race. Lewis, it feels like this is a week where everyone should hold serve, like Arsenal should bat. I mean, who knows, and again, you might be watching or listening to this afterwards, I apologise, but Villa's tricky for City, but obviously with no Watkins, no Ramsey as well, and the fact that it's at home, it's probably made things a little bit more comfortable. You'd expect Arsenal to be Luton as well. It does feel like this is a week where everyone just holds serve or should be holding serve, and the only thing that can change, like Andy said, is the goal difference. Really, we're not expecting too much from Luton and Villa, are we? I mean, there's a very good chance that Liverpool, you know, go in. If City actually batter Villa, there's a chance Liverpool third going into the Sheffield game. Now, are City going to put six past Villa? I mean, who knows? I think they're capable of doing anything, but there's a very good chance Liverpool are on top when we kick off against Sheffield United. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there is. But, you know, we're not holding out much hope, really, that Luton can get something against Arsenal. No offence to Luton. Same with the Villa City thing.
Yeah.
But we've seen Norwich beat City. We've seen Palace beat City. We've seen teams go to Arsenal and embarrass them at points. It can happen. And at the moment, we just need to keep getting the results that we need to stay top of this league. We are in a position now where we don't have to rely on other teams. We have our own destiny in our own hands. Yeah. If we just get our own wins, not a problem. City and Arsenal can do whatever they want. If they drop points along the way, fantastic. But I'm not holding out massive hope that City are capable of going on like a 15-game winning streak. We know that. Arsenal, this is probably the best Arsenal team in, 15, 20 years or so. So I'm not seeing them dropping many more points. It can happen, but we just need to focus on ourselves, really, and just make sure that we get the 3 points, because we've still got tricky fixtures coming up.
Absolutely. I think if Watkins was available against the City back line, that's been a little bit hit. I mean, they're not bad by all accounts, but they're not as probably watertight as they have been. Andy, you might have, you know, can they get it on the break? But without him, it's hard to see Villa. You know, Villa's form is so hit and miss recently. They had a really good run, and now they've just started to have a little bit of a wobble. Maybe fixtures and injuries are starting to pile up. Did they get a good win, of course, last time out? If anyone's going to do something, I'd be shocked if Luton, I mean, who knows, Luton have given a couple of bloody noses, but ultimately they tend just to lose. That's been that kind of their MO this season. Villa, of course, coming on the back of a decent win over Wolves, but they did lose the main man, and that does feel a little bit like that was the only hope you might have had if Ollie Watkins could do a madness. That's not there for them anymore.
Yeah, I think first of all, in terms of the Arsenal Luton game, the best we can hope for is like a sort of hammer and tongs Luton performance where they maybe go one or two goals up. But I still even think in that situation,
just trying to take some legs out of them.
Yeah, I still even think in that situation Arsenal probably go on to win the game. So yeah, I hold out no hope of Arsenal dropping points in this round of fixtures. City's a little bit different, I think. You know, you're right, Watkins makes it very difficult, but Unai Emery's come into this league with something to prove. He had all this European pedigree. He was in a laughing stock at Arsenal, rebuilt his reputation at Villarreal, has come in this season and has made them really, really strong. And I think they're fourth in the league, two ahead of Spurs now with the same games played. So, you know, if they lose tonight, then that sort of puts it back in Spurs' hands. And obviously there's twists and turns because top four teams going for the top four drop points. That's why they're not in the title race. But yeah, I think they'll be looking at that and thinking like a point's a really good result tonight. And Emery's like a real sort of tactician. He'll want to go to Guardiola, to Man City, and get something there and show that he's tactically really strong, which we already know.
Were you going to watch it?
I am going to watch it, yeah. I get to the point where I watch every City game and every Liverpool game and sort of switch off from football altogether apart from that. But, you know, they can go there and get something. And they beat them at home 1-0. They beat Arsenal at home 1-0. They've landed a bloody nose on both of them already this season. They'll want to keep doing that. And in terms of, like, the fixtures City have left, it's probably in the top certainly two or three most difficult ones. So if they are going to drop points again, there's a good chance it'll have to be tonight.
Villa have depth as well. Like they have got a lot of players who can play in that
squad. Who replaces Watkins? Who's there?
Diaby.
They've got Diaby.
He's not a bad player, is he?
Leon Bailey, Zaniolo, I think, as well. He's another one. There's a lot of they've got options. Like it's not a threadbare squad like a lot of people make out.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, unlike Luton, by the way, you've got the whole team injured and all the subs. Well, Luton, bless them, they're in a bit of a pickle at the moment. Right then, with all that being said, can I get a score prediction for the game? We had a members chat from James Lim, who says I fancy a 4-0 win against Sheffield United. Lewis, higher or lower?
4-1. It'll be some sort of spawny corner.
Well, if it's anything like us, we'll concede first.
Yeah.
That's the concern, going one down, and then it becomes a sort of Luton scenario. And after the weekend, I just can't be bothered with that. Give me one sort of nice one before we go into inevitably 8 absolute sort of heartbreakers, or heart gut wrenchers, you know. I think we're going to win 6-0.
6-0. Wow. Okay. I'm thinking 4 as well. I'm going to go with James. Just to let you guys know as well, if you want even more extended coverage around the game, do go and check out redmenplus.com. We've got a special offer for you as well. If you join up to redmenplus.com right now as a yearly captain and use the code RACE, RACE, you know, do you get it? Title RACE, all that kind of stuff. Then, yeah, you'll get a year's worth of content for half price. So that gets you the rest of this hopefully trophy-laden season. You'll get the new manager search, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of next season as well. So, yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain, use code RACE. Help support us here at Redmen HQ, and of course, get some extra content, including all the post-game stuff after the Sheffield United match, like I say, the Insta-match reaction, player ratings and all that good stuff. We've got some interviews on there as well. Guillaume Balagay talking about Xabi Alonso, that's out now as well. Really good chat. He said like he reckons Alonso still will manage Liverpool one day, for example. Just not yet. So yeah, redmenplus.com is the place to go for all that. One for the game itself, I will be on watch along duty on the YouTube channel. The game is 7:30 UK time, so work it backwards. We'll go live at 7:15 for the watch along. We'll be live an hour before that at 6:15 to react to the team news on the Uncensored Match Builder. So do come and check that out as well. If you're watching the match alone and you want to feel that community feel, then yeah, Redmen watch alongs are the place to come. We've got the live chat, the songs, the bias commentary as well, rather than listening to the idiots on the telly. So we've got yous all covered. Thanks very much, Lewis, for coming in. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Andy, for coming in as well. Thanks all you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the match preview. And yeah, we'll see yous for the Sheffield United game. See you in a bit.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.